Hey everyone, welcome back to TV Guys, the show where you should be having fun. We specifically requested it. I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And we just, I know this is like the second one in like a month and a half that we've had, but we have lost two big staples of television. And so we did a Matthew Perry memorial show a month and a half ago. And then shortly after that, Andre Braugher died. And we're like, well, we needed to do Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode anyway. What's the best way to do that? Let's talk about Captain Holt and some of his best moments.
Yeah, exactly. He's a good one. I don't have as many specific moments. I have just like characteristics about him, but I'm sure I can piggyback off of your moments.
Yeah, I've got some moments, but that's also the same thing. Is it's like that Brooklyn Nine-Nine didn't have quite that. It definitely didn't have the lasting power Friends did, and it's not as familiar in the back of my mind, but I definitely went back and rewatched a bit of it and did remember stuff to begin with. And of course, one of the things that if you talk about Brooklyn Nine-Nine to someone who's seen the show, something that pops up probably quickly in their mind is the Halloween heists. Yeah. And so those are always a highlight of seasons. Sometimes you're like, okay, I know where this is going. And sometimes you're like, oh, that was actually really well done. But for me, I felt like if we're talking about Captain Holt and something that really showcases his character, because it really is all about Holt versus Peralta in those, although they extend it to the rest of the 9-9 through it. But season two's Halloween heist, because the first one is all about Peralta, really. It's about Peralta acting like he's incompetent and then surprising Holt with his ability to be a good detective and to actually do what he says he would do. And so the next year is kind of, you can't do that same thing again. And instead it flips it on its head of like, well, you don't know as much about Holt as you think you know. And so for Holt to be behind the whole thing and to have been planning it out for a whole year long was a great reveal. And so a top moment for me is his denouement, so to speak, at the end of the episode where he explains how he got away with everything in that heist.
Yeah, no, that was good. I don't remember the specifics of how he did it, but it was kind of a thing where he was just thrown into the Halloween heist the first time around.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this is a thing I'm doing. I think in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, all the characters are great. But, you know, like the last season, they got rid of Gina and the show didn't suffer that much, I think.
Yeah.
I think other characters would have been a bigger hit, but a bigger loss. I think the two characters you could not do the show without are Jake and Holt. I think to different degrees of the show being worse without the rest of the characters, Terry and Charles and Amy and all them, I think you could still do it without anyone but those two.
Yeah. I think the biggest one I would maybe fight you on would maybe be Amy. Rosa has a lot of connection with everyone, surprisingly, for being as shut off as she is. But I think Amy's connection to Jake then kind of grounds him and helps him. Because like everyone in the department does rub off on Jake to help him be better than he ever used to be. But Holt is definitely the catalyst for that. He is the one that holds the whole department together.
Yeah. Well, without Amy, it would have been a different story for Jake.
Yep, absolutely. But going back, you said that you didn't remember exactly what he did, but so he had a watch on his wrist. I kept wanting to switch those words. Yeah. He did not have a wrist on his watch. He instead had a watch on his wrist. But he was saying how he got that watch and he had been subtly showing it to Peralta all throughout the year and continually drawing his attention to it. Mm-hmm. And then he has this pickpocket that comes in and he sees Peralta get excited about, oh, this is the guy. And so already Holt is ahead of the game and he hires the pickpocket ahead of time, knowing that Jake's going to rely on him, and then gets he has that hoodlum run away with the watch, and then it gets stuck in his car and the car gets towed, and then he has to get shoved into a party bus where he loses his badge and wallet and everything, and then he's not able to get his car impounded and he has to climb over, and then they pull the car away with a crane. So there's a lot of different stuff he did, but involved a lot of the 9-9 in masks. Or like Stephanie Beatriz in a like little cat mask on the party bus doing dancing, and it really sold that you didn't know it was her because she used her more peppy voice when you're used to her just talking like she's gonna murder you at any given second.
Yeah, she used her real life voice.
Her real life voice. Man, the first time I heard it, it's kind of like Naveed Andrews, like the first time I heard his real voice and not Saeed, I'm like, he's British.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he does great at losing the accent.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, yeah.
All right. What are some other moments or characteristics you want to bring up?
What I like is we've seen this type of character in different shows where it's the no-nonsense boss. He comes in, he kind of ruins the fun. But I think what separates Captain Holt is that he has his fondness for getting rid of nonsense, but he also, from the very start, wants his team to succeed. Terry is telling him, you know, Jake, you know, is a great detective. He doesn't know how to grow up. This is what Amy does. This is what Charles does. He gives him the lowdown on everybody, and he wants them to succeed. He's not a killjoy to the point of wanting to take away their success and who they are as people. He just wants to make them better, which makes him less of a villain.
Despite some of his cartooniness sometimes, like his deadpan does get into like very shtick type moments. Yeah. And then you have the opposite where sometimes he lets loose, and we'll get on that sometimes in a minute.
Yeah.
But apart from that, he's a very realistic boss and a very realistic foil because he is very much that disciplinarian. But at the same time, like you said, he does have the heart and the compassion that you need from a boss. And so he's not some unfeeling robot, even though they make that joke about him. And we've seen the unfeeling robot type character. Anyone who's watched Star Trek has seen it in all these different Vulcans. Or you've seen it with different, like, you know, just in a lot of different shows, they kind of pull their emotion away. It's like, you should have emotion. Well, he clearly has emotion. They make jokes about how he doesn't express it very well, but he clearly feels deeply. And so when we get to see those moments is really good. And he has some solid moments. I think his ending with Peralta, where the finale where he's talking with him and he's saying, I know you view me as something of a father figure. And so if I was your father, I would say I was very proud of you. And like for him to be able to address it completely and to drive it home to show how much he cares instead of having that distance that he might have kept earlier in the seasons.
Yeah, that, I know this isn't one that you know, but that scene definitely has a lot, very similar tone to the final episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with the talk that Uncle Phil and Will have. It's very similar. Like he just says, like, you are my son, kind of deal.
Yeah.
And Captain Holt doesn't say that, but he more or less says, like, I'm proud of you, which is what Jake always wanted.
Yeah. Or like Mr. Feeny in the room with the three at the end.
Before him, Eric was there too.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So that, like, he's a good character for that. What I like about Holt is I think that this show does a really good job with relationships because he gets to have a relationship with Amy that's very different than anyone else he would because they're both these type A personalities.
Yeah.
And then he gets to have a relationship with Terry as his number two and like the protege, which is different than the mentorship that he shows to Peralta. And that's a great relationship there. He gets to have a relationship with Rosa, who Rosa is probably the only, like, Holt is the one that she'll let in more than anyone else that we see in the show. And so they have some really unique moments together. So I really like the Holt dynamic with a lot of different characters.
I think the weakest one is there's not a ton of Holt and Charles. No. There's a few here and there, but they don't have a really strong connection.
Yeah, and I think that's probably smart because there's a little bit of the we've talked before about how Boyle is weird, and in another show they might have been like, well, Peralta doesn't really like Boyle, but Boyle's obsessed with him, and so Peralta's annoyed by Boyle's craziness, and instead they kind of give that a little bit to Holt, where he's not so much annoyed, but it's definitely like, I don't abide your buffoonery sort of relationship. Yeah. So there's a little bit more of that, and that allows us to have a really unique dynamic between Charles and Peralta.
Yeah, exactly. And let me pull up my list. That was one of my big ones I was going to say was that final moment there.
Nope, I took it because that's what I do.
Some of them are just a lot of little, like, the cold opens for his little ones, like him admitting to Peralta that he was hula hooping and saying, no one will ever believe you, as he deletes the pictures.
That is on my list. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or when he makes intricate high fives with everybody but Jake as a unique punishment, which was hilarious as well.
Yeah, I remember that. I like the hula hoop one because that is early season. That's first season that we have that. And so that's really early with Holt before we get really any of his ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. And so for anyone who isn't aware, doesn't remember, Holt comes in, he's hurt his hand, and they're all like, what's going on? Holt didn't hurt his hand, and he kind of brushes it off when we asked about it. And so they're all trying to like speculate of what it could be. And he comes out and he's like, I know you guys are talking about my hand. I fell, hurt it on the curb. I didn't think it was important. I'll get back to work. And then everyone scatters except for Jake, who started the little rabble rumor. And he just walks up to him and says, the truth is, I was hula hooping with Kevin. I've learned all these different moves. The oopsie doopsie, I think, is one of them. The
oopsie doodle.
Oopsie doodle.
Yeah.
Of course, the most ridiculous name. And he's showing him the pictures, and he's like, why are you telling me this? Because no one will ever believe you, and deletes them in front of him.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good one. And then you said the handshake one. I don't remember that one in as much intricate detail.
Well, basically, and this was, it had a nice little end dinger. Jay came into the meeting. Of course, he's late, and he's like, just to prove it, I've come up with intricate high fives unique with everybody else. So he does high fives he created with Terry, Charles, Rosa, Amy, and Jake thinks it's done. And then there was like a copy guy who's there setting up equipment. He's like, and Kenny the copy guy. He does one with, like, and then it ends with Jake going, the copy guy.
That's good. Another one I really like, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember the one where Amy comes in late? She's less than a minute late, but she's late, and they're all like, oh, Amy, she's never late. We have to know the reason. And they're all kind of betting on what the reason is that she's late. And then Holt, surprisingly, is all for it. He's like, I enjoy this game. I believe she was in line at the bank. And it's just kind of like missing the fun of it.
They're all just standing, and he's like, this is fun. Now they're standing around.
And then she comes in. She's like, I'm sorry I'm late. There's a line at the bank. And he goes, hot D word.
Yeah.
Like, just extreme jubilation at being correct.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. And that's, see, the role of Holt is hard to write, I think, where you want to have moments like that. But if you have too many of them, he becomes too cartoony to kind of flash back and forth between the two. And so I think they did get to a point where they had a couple, like too many of those moments in later seasons. Yeah. But early on, there was really good times like that.
Or there was the one where they're all imagining how he would eat a marshmallow. And of course, the joke is Charles thinks he's going to go, woo, woo. And of course, that's what he does. He's like, I knew it.
Just so that it's really good subversion there of like, where's this joke going? Obviously he's going to come in. Obviously he's going to be a payoff, but it's that it was Charles who called it and Charles knew him best.
And one of the also the best Holt moments, and I'm going to steal it before you do. It's can be summed up in one word. Bone.
I actually didn't have that down, but I do remember that.
That's the first one that came to mind. So they were working on the overnights for previous time, and Holt has just been really irritable. And then Rosa just says, I think you guys are pent up. You guys just need a bone. And he just goes, it's like a montage of him like keeping forgetting about it and coming back. He's like, what I do in my bedroom is none of your business. How dare you talk to me? And he just comes out yelling, bone? You said you dared to say bone?
And it's showing the time elapse at the bottom. Like 7 minutes later, bone? 15 minutes later, I am your superior. 20 minutes later, bone? And then like it gets like 40 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And Rose's like, well, now it knows.
Yeah.
That is good. It's not as good as one episode that has multiple of these moments. And that's when Peralta stumbles upon this case. I think it was a cold case that they got a new lead on, but there were these four gang members and two of them ended up dead. And so of the other two left, the four together got away with $21 million. So it's a very high profile case. And two of these guys are dead already. And so there's these two suspects. They're trying to track them down and they try to figure this out. But Wunsch comes in and she is like, you will have the full resources of what you would need. And so Holt's in his head about it because he knows he can't trust her. And he's like, she wants us to fail because the failure will be that spectacular. So he can't trust anything. And Jake's just really rolling with it because Jake is that classic, like, I want my cop life to also be like an action movie. Not to the point where he's like reckless with it, as maybe sometimes, but for the most part, it's like, if that happens, that would be so cool. And so he's really enjoying that this high profile case is like the type that you would get from these cop movies. And he's doing all these things like he requested a helicopter, but he only calls it the chopper. And then they're sitting in the chopper and they're like, he's like, I've got code names. Boyle, what's yours? He's like, Rum Tum Tugger. He's like, Boyle, no names from cats. And I think he gives him something like Sidewinder or something. And like, he's like Double Blade or whatever. And then, he's like, Holt, what are you? It's like, I am Captain Raymond Holt. I knew you would be that way, so we gave you the name Wet Blanket. So those are their code names, and they storm the thing and then realize that the guy wasn't there. The third of the four guys is dead, and they're like, okay, so it was the fourth guy. And then like Holt kind of chews out Peralta for really just basking in this whole thing, and Peralta's like, but this is a high profile case and we need to give it our full attention. And you like this too. You are ready to do this. And then Polt's like, you know what? Let's get this thug. And then like this, his demeanor shifts and he is ready and he's all aboard. And then, like Holt or Peralta can't believe it, and then Holt at some point says, oh, we need to get back to the chopper. He's like, you called it the chopper. And he's like, code name Blanket. He's like, that's not my name anymore. I am Velvet Thunder.
And Jake's like, yes.
And then they find it. They do find the money later. And another great Holt line is a callback early in the moment in the episode, because when Peralta's a little flustered but excited, he says Bing Pot. He's like, was gonna say bingo, then change it to jackpot, and that just came out. And Boyle's like, Bing Pot works. And then they find the $21 million, and Holt goes, Bing Pot. That whole episode is a really good Holt and Peralta episode.
And that just shows he will go along with this stuff when it means encouraging his team to use their personalities to win a case.
Yes. And he even will let himself get caught up with it, but I think it's very rare for him to get lost in it the way that Peralta could. So he will be able to be a tether for him. But he, as time goes on, you see that the 99 does rub off on him, and we probably wouldn't have seen this from season one Holt, but we see it from I think season four Holt, maybe season three,
something like that. The seasons blend together for me.
Yeah, they do. Yep. Should we talk about Wunsch, because his relationship with Wunsch is freaking hilarious.
Yeah, no, I agree. And she is that kind of villain where it's not, you don't, she's not fun for the audience. We're never rooting for her, and we are rooting for Holt.
And the Holt has the most sass and quips when he's coming up with barbs against her. And those are some of the funniest things in the series, when she just walks in and it's like, or like in this same episode we were talking about, she was promoted. She's on the 20th floor. And he's like, I've never seen you this high without a broom underneath you.
Yeah.
But lots of I really love this relationship. I wish I could like have a list of all of his digs at her, because he keeps one-upping himself. He's constantly getting better and better at the way that he mocks her. And I'm like, this is just tremendous wit from Holt. Obviously, it's from the writers, but
yeah.
Andre Brouwer delivers it great.
Of course, we all knew Wunsch sounded like lunch, and say same thing with the characters. And like, it's a couple seasons in, and he realized, wait a minute, Wunsch sounds like lunch. And I was like, yeah, we saw that right away. This opens up so many different categories of insults. I'm going to say, it's Wunsch time. That's it? That's the one you're going with? Yes, it's devastating.
And Peralta still like, you know, wants him to come up with better, but he's like, hey, this is your moment. I'm here for you. And so when he says it to her, I think it's something about like her being Wunsch meat at some point. And he's like, we decided on that one. Okay, that's what we're going with. But he's just like, I've got your back. I'm your cheerleader.
Another little one. So the few times that Captain Holt, because Captain Holt is gay.
The few times what? That he is...
I forget how early on that's resolved. Isn't it like one of the first couple episodes they reveal that?
Yeah, I think it's like right away. Because yeah. That is something that they use for his characterization in the first season of why he keeps a healthy boundary with his work colleagues. Because he hasn't known colleagues that he can trust since he's been discriminated against by either being black or gay. I think there's one time he's talking with Rosa. He's like, I had a good partner. He was this and this. He was homophobic, but not racist, which was a big deal back then.
Yeah, back then it was pretty good.
Yeah. So go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, so a couple times for different reasons, whether he's undercover or not, he has to pretend to be straight. And his go-to thing for selling being attracted to women, he's like, yes, you know me. I see a woman with large, heavy breasts, and I just can't help myself. He always talks about – and that's always his term, heavy breasts, as what he thinks everyone is attracted to.
Well, what was it when he was undercover in Florida with Jake and he's doing his walking with her and saying, I've impregnated a woman, just couldn't help myself.
Yeah,
and again, he's like, Andre or whatever the name he went by, obviously is not his real name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just such a weird fixation he had. And outside of the 99, obviously he had his relationship with his husband, Kevin, and their dog Cheddar, which was a different dynamic there because Kevin matched his and maybe even surpassed his deadpan seriousness.
Yeah. Sorry. Hang on. There. You go ahead. Edit out my burp. Do it. I dare you. I shouldn't make the embarrassing moments funny, or I don't know if that's funny at all, but I shouldn't like embellish on him because then you'll be like, maybe I should keep this. I should just let him go.
It's not hard to edit things out, but it's easier to not.
That's fair. But we sound so unprofessional. What was I gonna say now?
Something about Kevin.
Something about Kevin. That relationship, it is fine for me. I do enjoy like the they're impossible to read and like when they're having a fight, but it's just like monotone and dry. And you know, sometimes we like later in seasons, like, okay, we can drop that gag. We can actually let them show a little emotion. But it's better to have like that dry pan worked so well. Dry pan, that deadpan, dry humor. So. There you go. Andre Brower, early on in the show, like he would consistently go back to the writer or the director or whatever and just kind of check with them and be like, is this really working? Is this funny? Like he didn't know how his character is going to be regarded because he didn't have a barometer for that kind of humor. And so of being that much of a straight man, it takes a real heavy commitment to the joke. And I can understand the hesitancy early on because it's like, I feel like I'm doing too much. No one would respond this way, but that's what makes it so funny. And so it was just genius casting because Andre Brower is just a fantastic actor. I've seen him in a lot of different stuff and he tends to steal the show when he pops up. He had a guest star role on House for one episode in a season opener, and he was just a dynamic player. Like that episode, it was House, Andre Brower, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, and then a couple other like background characters. You didn't have any of the season regulars in that episode. I think there was one phone call he made with Wilson, but is like just like those two and their dynamic as a patient to a inmate in an asylum. And so like Andre Brower trying to help him and as a psychiatrist and come to terms with what he was dealing with. And it was just a really well-written episode, but it was brought home because Andre Brower just has this poise about him. And he's able to bring that to the role of Holt in such a way that is just so hilarious to see such a poised, well-polished person in an absurd place like the 99.
Yeah, exactly. And you see the 99, as we talked about, influence him a little bit over time. Like there's a scene where Jake is sliding on his socks across the entire bullpen from elevator to elevator. And at the very end, it's like, oh my gosh, Holt is walking in. It's like, oh, dad caught us misbehaving. And there's a silent beat. And he raises Jake's hand. The full bullpen.
Yeah, I love that. And that's, it's such a fun thing to see him get in on the antics, but no, like knowing he has his limits. So,
Yeah.
Well, that might be all I've got to say about good old Andre Brouwer. Did you ever watch the show Men of a Certain Age with him?
No, I did not, no.
Ray Romano's in it, and there's a third guy, and I can't remember who it is. But I've heard such good things about that, and it was like more of a drama-type show. Who's the other guy? Oh, Scott Bakula.
Okay.
And so those three are like the main characters. It's like these guys in like a midlife crisis sort of thing. And it's a little bit like a Parenthood or This Is Us type show featuring those three guys. And I heard really good things about it, but it just never caught the audience like in the same way that This Is Us and Parenthood did.
Yeah.
I think it was like a TNT show actually, or some sort of cable network.
Well, if it's three guys, it sounds like it might be like a more dramatic Full House.
Maybe they weren't together. They just like their story arcs overlap, but it wasn't like they're living together.
But. Gotcha. Yeah. And then the last thing I had that I marked down that I forgot is just how he texted, and every time a text message ended with "Sincerely, Captain Raymond Holt,"
having to say his full name every time.
Yeah. And then Jake finds himself saying "Sincerely." Why am I saying that part?
You know what I didn't bring up? That was a great Holt moment. It's again a bit of the absurdity. During Rosa and Pimento's would be wedding.
Yeah,
and they all have jobs to deal with. The balloon arch, yeah. And like the love and Carrie puts in the balloon arch, and Amy's like, this just isn't Rosa's style, and she eventually gets the gall to stand up to him and say that. And, like, just him, his dismay at it, like, he's seething, but he keeps that straight face on. And then in order to, like, get rid of it, he just keeps staring her down and starts popping the balloons one by one as he locks eyes with Amy. Like, what a fearful moment that would be for her as a character.
And I might be mixing two moments, but is that the time when Rosa says something like, wow, that's a really good balloon arch? And he's like, vindication.
It is at the end of the episode. He salvages a good amount of it and brings it back into his office and puts it over his desk. Mm-hmm. And Rosa comes in and sees it, and she's moved by it. And then that's when he does the vindication shout.
I'm glad I got that right, because I knew the vindication shout, but I thought it was the balloon arch. And when at first he's like, oh, you really made that. I didn't make it. I birthed it.
That's right. And he kept making the balloon puns. Pun intended.
Yes.
You popped my balloon dream. Or at one point when he says something like three B's in a row and like, look at me, I'm alliterating like a beatnik.
At one point he says, he does this thing where he accidentally rhymes like, look at that. I'm a poet. And I didn't even realize that I had rhymed those words.
I remember that too.
Yeah. We think we're done with Cole Holt moments, and then we just keep getting more.
Yeah. It's like there's so many good throwaway lines. I can't remember the exact line, but someone comes into his office. He's like, why are you interrupting me during my soup? Like, yeah. He's just got a bowl of soup. And just, you can't do it the way Andre Brouwer does. Like, you can give your best deadpan, and his deadpan is going to beat you. I can't think of anyone outside of Leslie Nielsen who does it better.
Good point, yeah.
But
maybe Nick Offerman is Ron Swanson.
He does a good deadpan. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that all we have before trivia?
That's all we've got. That's all we've got on him, you know? Yeah. That's all we had.
So last week we talked about best of 2023, and I said, who is a showrunner who created two of the shows we talked about that we watched in 2023? And that is Adam F. Goldberg, who created both The Goldbergs about his own family and was a creator for The Muppets Mayhem.
That's true.
Which, okay, we'll talk about this on the when we talk about The Goldbergs coming up sometime in the next few months. It's well established that Adam Goldberg, both in and out of the universe, is a big Muppets fan.
Yes.
And there have been several references to where Adam has made in the Goldbergs about being Muppets. At one point, you see a Muppets Take Manhattan poster in his bedroom. But for all the different ones, so many episodes start with, well, you know, Back to the Future was great. E.T. was great. And like, so many, like, it's a lot of it is like, take this 80s movie and make an episode around it. They've never done anything with the Muppets, which, considering how much of a fan Adam Goldberg is, it's kind of surprising.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. This week's trivia here is going to be obviously about Andre Brower.
Since,
you know, this whole thing is about him. But he played a cop in another great movie that I love. Featuring Dennis Quaid, we'll say, is one of the people in there. So what movie was Andre Brower in where he, again, played the role of a cop?
Tune in next week to find out.
Dun-dun-dun!
Or 2 weeks from now. Our next episode is going to be a good one. I'm not sure how many of you watch Survivor, but we're going to be breaking down Survivor Season 1.
Shaboom!
We're only 24 years late on this one.
Yeah, it took us a little bit.
Yeah. Considering 24 years ago, we didn't even know each other and we were 12.
True. I actually started Survivor with Survivor Season 2. That's when I first started watching it. Then I eventually got a hold of... Oh, yeah. I think you did tell me that.
Yeah.
I eventually got a hold of first season DVD and was able to watch it. And I'm like, 2 is better.
Well, it's the first one you ever watched. And I think there are more dynamic characters in Season 2. But Season 1 has a lot of iconic moments. And it's definitely worth talking about.
Yeah. It's annoying to watch how they vote. It's like, you guys are stupid and deserve to be voted off. Everyone minus the 4.
Yeah. Like, early on, for a long time, people thought, oh, Richard Hatch was such a manipulator of the game. He's so smart. He was the only one who knew that you need more people to vote other people out. That's not that complicated.
He just understood the basic rules of the game. Going to vote for people in alphabetical order. Yeah, okay, just announce everyone what your vote's going to be so that we know how to sway the tide in our favor. That's exactly smart.
Yeah. And I mean, spoiler alert, he came back once and he didn't make it very far.
Oh, did he? I remember they came back for All-Stars, yeah.
Which that was a whole other controversy with him, and Sue Hawk had a whole controversy because she came back too.
Yeah.
And there was an altercation where she quit the game because of him.
Yeah. I remember that of like, cause you know, he would play in that one. He's like, I'm just going to do all the games naked. And that was his contribution. And it went too far at a certain point.
Yes, exactly. There was talk about him coming back for the all winter season, but then he didn't end up coming back for that.
Yeah. Plus, didn't he go to jail for tax evasion?
Yeah, that was earlier, though. I mean, by the time he would have come back for the winter season, he was already back out of jail. He has a YouTube channel, too.
Listen, if he was the master manipulator that everyone says he is, then he wouldn't have even gone to jail in the first place. Check and mate.
I've seen some of his YouTube videos where it's recent, within the last few years, he talks about Survivor and his time and people and everything. And I get the context that he is a smart guy, but I also get that he seems to be a little bit full of himself.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of full of ourselves, I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And we're reminding you to stay tuned and keep watching.